Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the GeekCast Radio Network. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. And for our latest podcast approach, which is our 100th episode, today we welcome a guy called Terry Smith. Terry was working in IT for about 38 years or so, including an extremely long stint at Microsoft, but he is so much more than that. Terry is a hi-fi nut, and he started Music Talks podcast June 25th, 2019. And because I'm very much an anal retentive about numbers myself, technically, Music Talks podcast actually has 124 episodes, so when Terry does the albums of the year for 2024, there will be 125 episodes, unless he splits it up into two parts, which we know he will do, right?
Yep.
I had the pleasure of being on Terry's podcast in episode 12, and I was and am Mike Blanchard, Transformer Man. Since December 3rd, 2019, Terry and I have also recorded six other podcast episodes of my show, GeekCast Radio, the flagship show here on the GeekCast Radio Network, GeekCast Radio. Five out of those six were all about my favorite band, Blackstone Cherry, so we are definitely going to be Blancharting the heck out of this podcast and taking Terry through how he listens to podcasts and how he got his podcast started. And we will try to convince him that there are many more Music Talk stories he needs to get. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I am good, Mike. Pleasure, as always, to be here and to hear your energetic voice.
Yes, well, you've heard that intro like five times in the last week and a half, so...
Gets better each time.
I just feel like I'm drooling on. But anyway, getting started as podcasters, when did you first discover podcasts and what was the first one you listened to?
Interesting question, because my answer is actually that I can remember 2017, although I'm sure I would have listened to stuff before that. But given that I can't remember it, that probably says it all. So yeah, in 2017, two things happened. One, I retired from that IT career you mentioned in July. And two, around about the same time, a friend said to me, you have to listen to this thing called The Daily, which is a podcast from the New York Times, which I did. And that really got me into it. And very quickly after that, a great podcast that, well, they're both still going, that was called Song Exploder. So those were the first, mid-2017, and those were the first two that really attracted me and got me interested.
Mm-hmm. So then it was about 2 years before you, after listening, that you really wanted to start your own, or was it earlier than that?
It was earlier. So it was actually about a year later. The story I used to tell was that I was invited onto Jesse Jackson's Set Listing Bruce podcast. What actually happened was that as part of my getting into podcasts, I found this and I sent him a mail or a text saying, could I please be on your podcast? Not realizing at the time that if you're a podcast host, that is actually joy when people do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I went on to, I went on as a guest, and I didn't go on with the intention of setting up a podcast, but I had started doing these evenings on a Tuesday evening. You know, you mentioned being a hi-fi nut. I had the hi-fi system in the basement, you know, classic American house. And my wife had something else on a Tuesday night, so I started inviting a friend around, a different one each time, for a few drinks. I'd cook some food, and we'd listen to some music. And I did about four of those and then thought, how's this going? And the reality is I was having a great time. But it did sort of consist of me playing something, 60 seconds from something that I loved very loud and screaming, isn't it great? Doesn't it sound fantastic? But I thought, I'm not sure how much the guest is enjoying it. And sadly, I can't remember when I came up with the idea, but I came up with this idea that just said, hey, send me some songs. Make it a song from each decade of your life. It doesn't have to be your favorite song. It doesn't have to be your favorite band, but it has to be a song that says, that's the 90s. When I hear that, I think 90s. And people just loved the format. And that became clear, very obvious. You know, people started sending me their long list and their medium list and their short list and all this. So I went on to the show with Jesse and really, really enjoyed it. I mean, he's just a lovely, generous host. And so at the end, I said, and we were about to move back to the UK from Seattle. I said, have you got 5 minutes? He said, yes. I asked him how he got into podcasting. And I said, look, I've been doing these evenings and I wonder if it'd be a format for a podcast. And Jesse being Jesse said, wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And I never thought I'd hear anything again, frankly. And shortly afterwards, he sent me an email saying, I've talked to the network and you're on. So we then did a number of pilot episodes under the name of Tea Time with Terry. And obviously, you know, the move back to the UK was pretty time consuming. So it was, as you said, it was June the following year when I finally sort of went solo under the banner of Music Talks, because Tea Time with Terry is a great name for a golf podcast. So that was when it started. But yeah, it sort of happened by accident, but I'm so glad it did.
See, I remember, like, though, like I had to go back and find Tea Time with Terry, but the way you spelled it was like you're having an English cup of tea, not golfing, which is T-E-E.
That is indeed true.
I would have never thought it would have been a golfing podcast.
Well, I'll tell you why I say that, because I went on it sounds very grand, it was a Guardian masterclass, which the Guardian's a newspaper in the UK. A masterclass was a bunch, about 120 people in a hotel room on a Tuesday night. The guy said, has anyone started podcasting? You know, what's your name? And I said, Tea Time with Terry. And he said, what do people think that's about? And somebody said, tea. And I went, no. And somebody said, Terry. And I said, sort of. And then this woman looked at me and she said, it's obviously a golf podcast.
Oh my God.
Which, given that she hadn't seen it spelt, was a perk. So at that point, it was like, okay, scrap it.
So you've kind of given a little bit of the details of what your plan was, but how did this, like, you had the plan of each, you know, one song from each decade of your life. What was the plan after that? How were you going to get this off the ground? What were you going to do with it? What were your ultimate goals with it, et cetera, et cetera?
So, I mean, Jesse was a great help, and the pilot episodes really helped. And as I always say to people, the reality is, if I had a plan, it was irrelevant, in the sense that certainly my intention when I started it was going to be a music nerd podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And right the way through, it retained an element of that, and it depended on the guests. But, you know, what actually happened was that very quickly, it clearly was a show where when people went back and reflected on what songs they were picking, guests were coming on and basically telling their life story. So, you know, one of the big joys for me is that I started off with one idea, which was based around music nerdery, and it became something else, which actually felt really, really exciting. And in terms of the practicalities, you know, the pilot episodes helped. The Guardian course really helped. And the one thing I always quote back to people is the guy who ran it said, if you've got a format that you would do if no one was listening, you are onto something. And that has always stuck with me, because just like today, you know, it's great that people listen to it. And, you know, I am so grateful. I could never have imagined that, you know, tens of thousands of people would listen. I did actually write a little document that said, you know, my goal was to have tens of people worldwide listening. Now, I'm glad to say that, you know, for each episode, hundreds of people listened. We never got to thousands, but that's fine. So, you know, it was more about the people and the conversation. And I guess the other thing that stuck with me from that course was he also said that 93% of podcasts don't get to episode 8.
Yeah.
You know, people start it, they find it's hard work, and they fall by the wayside. Other people like you and Jesse are machines who, you know, do thousands of episodes, which I can just have massive respect for. So I guess the other plan was I was determined I was going to get to episode 10.
He tried to out-machine me.
I was talking to him yesterday, so it's quite ironic that I've had the two of you in 2 days.
Uh-huh. Yep. No, he, when I had him on episode 97 and I did his podcast approach, he said that his kind, like, he started just before set listing Bruce and whatever on some other stuff, and but he said he can trace his back to, like, 2014, 2015, and I said, oh, cool, awesome, which technically means I've out-machined, I mean, overall content, I mean, he's got 1,200 or so, just over 1,200, almost maybe 1,300 episodes of set listing Bruce, and then he's got whatever he's got on Perfectly Good Podcast and whatever he's got on the Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast. I don't remember off the top of my head for the other two, but I said, yeah, let me know when you're almost at 4,000 total over 40 different podcasts in 15 and a half years. Then we can compare notes.
Mike.
Competitive? Me? No, you think? Oh, boy. So we're of the same mind on this, folks, but in the 2024 landscape of podcasts, it seems like everybody who's starting in the last 2 years or even shorter time than that, they're like, ooh, let's make it video. Let's do this. Let's do that. First of all, folks, when podcasting was first debuted in 2005 at an Apple event, Steve Jobs literally sat there on stage and said, look, iPod broadcasting. Do you get it? It's podcasting. So literally, it's audio. But the question is, which do you prefer, audio or video podcasting as a fan and as a producer?
Audio, 100%. I've never done a video one. I don't like having, I like the technology you're using today because it doesn't seem to have video, which is great. So no, I am not a fan. And, you know, on my Facebook, which I don't spend a lot of time on, but it is very exceptional for me to open a video. It just doesn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Discord does do video and there are video things that it can do, but generally I use it for audio because it's just easier. And yes, audio, because audio podcasts, you can take them anywhere.
Yep.
You can take them on car rides, you can go to the laundromat with them, you can go to wherever, you can just be around your house and have it play through your, you know, hi-fi system or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they can literally go anywhere with you. It's a purely, and you're listening to it, you're paying attention to it, but at the same time, you're getting other things done around the house or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah, and who wants to spend 60 minutes looking at me or you?
Yeah, I don't know anyone who wants to spend 60 minutes and wants to look at me. Ugh.
Most people, I think.
Have you seen me? Like, ugh, that guy. No, thank you. All right. What kind of setup did you have when you started, and what do you have currently?
So when I started, it was PC. It was a headset with a little mic on it, and I managed to choose the room in the house that had the most echo and, is it resonance or whatever. So it wasn't great, but it worked. You know, and the initial episodes are still up there, and that's what they were done. But I am a gadget guy, so I now have a little attic room at the top of the house. The only problem is it doesn't have any central heating. So in winter, I have to plan to put the heater on, and in summer, it does get quite hot. But I turn that into a little studio. So the most important bit of kit is I've got a Rode Podcaster,
mm-hmm.
and I also use a Rode mic. I can't remember. I bought some of those broadcast headphones, you know, mm-hmm. that have a mic attached at one time. I still use them, but I have the mic switched off. And then a PC, and it's actually an old PC. The only thing it does is podcasting. So there's, you know, there's no chance of anything else interfering with it. And I also have a second monitor as well.
Very cool. Very cool.
And a screen thing around the mic. And a stand and
stuff. Top filter and all that stuff. Yep, yep.
Yeah, all of that good stuff.
Very cool.
Which makes me able to do this, you see. Hi, welcome to Music Talks. It's my Tom Waits impersonation.
See, that's why the show needs to go on. Anyway, so being a gadget guy, if your headphones or microphone or any part of the setup breaks down, are you going to go back and buy the reliable stuff you've been using, or are you going to use that chance to upgrade?
Being a gadget guy, something breaking down is always quite good news because it means you can buy something new and different. So, yeah, I would certainly upgrade.
I am the exact opposite. I go with what works because I don't trust anything new.
There is that, yeah.
I've had, in total, with even sending my gal, and I sent her a pair of these, in total, since 2012, I have, no, 2010, since 2010, I have bought the same pair of JVC just regular headphones, over the ear, giant ear cups, whatever. They're the JVC HA700s, I believe, without taking them off and actually looking at the thing, if I remember that correctly. I've bought these things like 4 to 5 different times in almost a decade and a half, and the only thing that has ever happened, obviously, is over time, the ear cups have gotten to the point where the cushioning is frayed off or whatever, but everything else, it works for music, it works for the podcast, it works for whatever. So I can sit here and jam out and write out, you know, 3 years worth of a podcast and be the planner that I am for podcasting and not have to worry about it. And then they don't even have noise, like, you know, most headphones will have a button for noise cancellation. I just put these things on and I'm in a vacuum. It's like,
in fairness, on my hi-fi, mm-hmm. I have in 2000, I bought a set of Grado wooden headphones, and I still use them to this day, and they're absolutely magnificent.
That's amazing. Did you think you'd be podcasting for as long as you have?
On the basis I didn't have a plan, no, I guess. What I do know is at the start, if someone had said you're going to do 100 episodes with the, you know, and some of these people are going to be, I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have believed it. And that's why it was such a great journey. So that's sort of yes and no, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just, it's a funny thing. Like if you start, and like with your format and with the guests that you've had on for all of your episodes, including the Christmas B-sides and the other specials and the albums of the year and everything else and all that. It's podcasting to me has always been getting together with whatever set of friends you have. Like I podcast with everybody. Like me and my buddy Steve for the longest time, who created the network with me. We do stuff every Monday night. We're recording later tonight as this is being recorded. You'll hear this on November 30th, folks, but we recorded this past Monday kind of thing, and we'll record something or we'll do something, and then I've got like 17 other friends, and now with these whole origin stories between cartoons and comic books and toy collecting and video games and everything else, next year I'm adding a TV and movie version, so yeah, it's like you just find people that you like having a conversation with and just have a conversation. And it's
absolutely,
you know, you look back on it and you're like, oh, I got to the 50th episode. Cool. I got to the 70th. Holy crap. I'm at 100. Oh boy. And in my case, in most cases, I'm at 200, 300, 400 per show. Obviously, Music Talks came to an end this year, but how would you say, if you were going to continue it, how have your podcasting goals changed since you started 5 years ago compared to now?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I'd probably go back to that phrase about if you've got a format where if no one was listening, you'd still do it and you'd still enjoy it. And I think what you've just said, Mike, is it's, you know, it's about the conversation. It's about the connection. It's about the people. Whilst it's lovely to have listeners, and I've been blown away that, you know, you have it, Jesse have it. Yeah, there's a core of Music Talk listeners who I know have listened to every episode, which I find incredible. And I'm incredibly proud of that and touched by that. But yeah, I think it's that connection and the quality of the conversation with the guest.
Absolutely.
I think that would be the main focus.
Yep. All right, let's get into your podcast listenership. As a listener, what defines a good podcast to you?
Okay, number of things. For me, it has to be something, there has to be learning or insight or a story in there. There's something that will draw me in. So the daily, I think whilst, you know where the New York Times sits politically, but actually I think they do a great job on the daily of real journalism where they present both sides and they're aware and respectful of both sides, and we need more of that. You know, Song Exploder is artists taking a song, breaking it down, and without fail, if there's someone, an artist on there or a song I know and love, I will finish that 20-minute episode thinking, wow, I never realized that about that song, and I listen to it differently. Voice is really important to me, and that can be presenter or guest. I'm a big fan, not surprisingly, given the Music Talks focus and format, but I'm a big fan of Desert Island Discs, which obviously started in 1948 as a radio show, but all episodes are now up on the podcast. And I started to listen to one last night, and I just didn't like the guest voice.
Yeah.
You know, not her fault. I'm also listening to that to go to sleep. So, and how they handle adverts and or advertisements, as you guys would call it, and how they keep that to a minimum, because I realize they're necessary for the business model, but I do find them irritating.
So I usually say that my spiel on that for later, but I'll say it now. Here's the thing. I understand that there are a lot of services out there like iHeartRadio here in the States, like other things that need the pre-roll and the post-roll, and you have to, it's just like YouTube ads. You got to do mid-rolls somewhere. We are now a part of RSS.com, and that has no adverts, so none on anything. We were a part of Spreaker, which before iHeartRadio bought them, they were great. Spreaker requires, depending on the time length of the episode, will require 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. So if you have a 2.5-hour podcast, you're probably going to have to find some way to bury 25 ads or some weird number. Yeah, it's really weird. Now, how they did that was they would have, you can do a single ad, a double ad, or a triple ad. So in general, let's say this episode, if that was still going to be the case from, let's say we did this 3 years ago when we were still on that on Spreaker. If they only required 3 ads, all I'd have to do is make one little thing. But how I do it is you hear the whole conversation. We have 30 questions about podcasting here, folks. We're only on question 9, 10, or whatever it is. Yeah, we're only on question 9. So the preceding number of questions, you're going to hear all of that. You're going to hear all 30 questions that I ask Terry. Before, at the end of it, I will say, okay, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And then what I would do is I would take the ads from that I've gotten over the years from other podcasters. I've got an ad for your show. I've got an ad for Jesse's. I've got 2 ads for Jesse's shows. I've got other ads, whatever. I would play and promote all of my friends' ads first, but I would bury what the company thing needed in there. So that way you don't hear, like, if I ask you a question about, like, what is your favorite part of the hi-fi sound? Now, before you even get a chance to answer that question, something might come out. If I don't manually edit those ads, it might be like, oh, Mike asked Terry this question, and all of a sudden, would you like to buy some Cialis?
No,
you don't have the ads interrupt the conversation. You just don't.
Correct.
You manually.
And so many podcasts do.
Unfortunately.
And it's that clash between the content of the podcast and the advertisement. You've just done that beautifully. But yeah, that's what, if people do decide to listen to Music Talks and there are, all the episodes are up there, just to be clear, there are no adverts. None. Ever.
As a listener, what does a podcast have to draw you in? So you listen to the first episode, what do they have to get you to come back?
Okay, that's a great way of putting it. I think it's back to my answer for the previous one of just, you know, learning insight. You know, if I think of my own podcast, one of the roles I saw, particularly as it sort of started to change, was one of my roles was to find music trivia around my guest songs choices. And I know people really like that. I think if I listened to something and it was like, oh, wow, I never knew that, that would make me want to listen to the next one. So I think it's, you know, there's got to be some sort of, or just, yeah, I mean, I think that the quality, you know, I mean, I know we'll talk later about what I listen to, but there's one of my favorite podcasts is a UK one called The Rest Is Politics. And the two presenters are from opposite sides of the political sort of spectrum. Right. But actually, and they've been doing it for 3 years now, and they've clearly actually become really good friends. But they do a great job of having a respectful, interesting conversation. And that's what drew me in. It was like, oh, actually, listening to these two guys discuss stuff from different perspectives, that's interesting to me. And I learn stuff.
Very cool, very cool. All right, let's talk about time length. As a listener, do you prefer short 30 minutes to an hour and 30 minute shows, or do you prefer longer podcast episodes, as in 2 hours or more?
I'm at the shorter end. I always wanted Music Talks to get under an hour, but for a long time, I sort of had 75 minutes, and my rationale was it was an hour of chat and 15 minutes of music. Towards the end, they did get shorter. That's because the guy who is doing most of my editing for me got pretty good about knowing what I wanted in and out, and also did a great job of taking more and more of me out, which I was pleased by. And there is always something in, you know, if you're doing a music podcast, if you can get to 45 minutes, that feels perfect to me, because that's how much you can get on a vinyl LP. But I only really managed that when I did two-part episodes, which I'm sure you've discovered, Mike. I don't know if you ever do two-parters, but with two exceptions, and I'm pleased one of them is the final episode where I was the guest, you normally lose between 15 and 30% of listeners on the second part of a two-parter.
See, that's interesting, because I would think if you, like how you left off most of you, when you did do two-parters, the few times you did them, you would find a good stopping point. This is the same thing the way I would do it. I would find a good stopping point, and maybe during the conversation, I will say something like, okay, folks, that's going to do it for right now, yada, 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 yada. Dun, dun, dun. Tune in next week for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But it's
going to... Yeah, well, let me tell you why I think, well, certainly I lost between 15 and 30%, is my audience was basically made up of two parts. One was people who knew about the podcast and were regular listeners, mm-hmm. and the second would be friends of that episode's guest.
Okay, gotcha.
And therefore, what I think happened was that one of two things would happen, and this is all speculation. One is they'd listen to the first part and not like it, or I like to think more likely is they'd listen to the first part and forget to listen to the second part, because they're not regular listeners.
Yeah.
I'm pleased. There was me and there was a guy called Mark Spickett. And actually, weirdly, if you look at our numbers, we've both got slightly more listens for part two than part one. I presume people went back for a second time.
Well, that, and I wonder, because again, you're talking about telling your story and Mark's story and everybody else's story in these last 5.5 years. You like hearing how the story began, but you also like, I don't know a lot of, like, the middle part of the story is also can and is very interesting, but like, people like beginnings and endings. So maybe that's it. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Speaking of beginnings and endings, as a listener, do you start at the beginning of a podcast, the most recent episode, or do you jump around?
It depends how podcast has been going for. So I actually signed up for a new one last week, and they're only 12 episodes in. So with that, I've gone back to episode one. If there's hundreds or thousands, then I will probably listen to the most recent episode. I will always go back to the first episode, and that's a tip for anyone thinking of starting a podcast. Do spend time on pilot episodes. Do spend time. Make sure that episode one is a good one, and I include audio quality, because certainly in my case, episode one is about 40% more downloads than any other episode.
Very interesting.
Maybe more, actually, because people, I think, do go back to the first episode and have a listen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And especially with a show like Music Talks, like there are two shows that I would say that I have had to start from the beginning. And luckily at the time when they started, I caught them at the beginning. I might have been a little bit late to Music Talks because it was a suggestion on Facebook, and I tend to ignore Facebook suggestions, even from really good friends like Mr. Jesse W. Jackson. But I was like, oh, what now? Because that's my reaction on Facebook for everything. No, that's my reaction on Facebook for everything. Oh, what now? Yeah. But I eventually caught up. But it was your show, Music Talks Podcast. I listened from the beginning. And there was another show at the time called Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads. And it was about these...
Oh, yes.
I've told you this story before. It was these two guys, Mike Laidman and Chris Blonsky. They were new fathers at the time. They were basically... They used their podcast to talk about the geeky gaming stuff that they like talking about. But they were also telling you their journey about how both of their wives were pregnant at the same time, kind of thing. So you went through a journey of how their children were born. You can't just jump into Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads episode 6. You have to start at episode 1, and then right. You can maybe jump around like after the whole, like after the first year of the podcast or so.
Yeah.
No, it's it just depends. It depends on what kind of podcast. If it's a news podcast, you can start at the most recent episode because you don't need to go back that right. far. Right. But if it's a podcast that tells a story, or if it's a podcast reviewing a specific television show, you're not going to start at episode 50 of that television show. You're going to want to start at exactly. So as a listener, how many voices are too many on one episode?
4. So two interviewers and a guest works fine for me, I think. Well, actually, I'm just thinking back to prior to the US election, the daily, the main guy in the podcast is Michael Barbara. He did do some round tables where there was him and 3, and that worked. But they were very, it was only one person talking at a time and you were clear on who it was. So maybe 5. But I think once you go above 3, you've got to manage it pretty carefully.
Yeah, you have to be an extremely amount of traffic control type of thing. Like say it was you and I and Jesse and 1 or 2 or 3 other people. It's like, okay, so if it's my show and I'm running the show, here's the topic. What is your opinion, your opinion, your opinion? Everybody go at once, give their opinion around the table, and then we would then figure out the rest of the stuff after that. But yeah, it's very much traffic control kind of stuff.
And in fact, Mike, I've not thought about this before, but going back to your question about video casts, I guess that is where video would start to be useful if you're talking about, 5 guests. If you're watching it on video, at least you can see who's talking and you start to build up. Whereas, doing that just with voices, I think that's, you're going to spend, certainly I would be spending more time thinking who's this speaking than listening to what they were saying.
Yeah, that's why you have, we only ever do more. So for me, 3 is a sweet spot because 3 gets you 3 individual opinions. You have the host and then the 2 guests or however you want to title it, whatever, doesn't matter. But when we would have 5, it's because we were voting on things. We do our top 100 various top 100 TV shows or top 100 blah blah blah, or we would do these GCR and Wars things where we would do SEC bracket type tournaments, NCAA, whatever kind of tournaments, and we would pit against each other. So you'd have to, if you're going to do Def Leppard versus Jefferson Airplane, you're going to need, okay, I don't know, I pulled it out of my ass, Terry, sorry. But the point is,
I'm actually thinking I'd like to hear that.
Well, the point is, who would win in a fight? Who would win in a, musical fight, a battle of the bands, whatever kind of thing? And we would do this thing of, oh, you have this vote, this vote, this vote. You can't have a tie vote. There has to be a winner. So in that case, you have to have 3, 5, 7. You have to have a number of people on the podcast to have a deciding vote and not a tie. And that's where the juggling and the traffic control and all that for the voices really does happen. But yeah, generally, right now what we're doing, one and two, it's easy, it's fine, it's fun, and all that good stuff. Has there ever been a moment when you just like you've been listening to a podcast for a while and they release a new episode and one of the hosts says something and you're just like, nope, I'm done? Do you ever just stop listening altogether?
No. You know, thinking about that question, I tend to sort of fade away, if that makes sense. I haven't had that. I've done. It was always a fear with Music Talks that, you know, somebody, and I think quite rightly, I was always very careful not to sort of censor in any way my guests. So there was always that fear that somebody would just go, no, that's it, I'm done. Don't like that guest. I've had enough. But no, for me, I just tend to fade away. And then every now and again, I'll cull the podcast that I followed and think, oh, I haven't listened to that for ages. If I haven't, get rid of it.
Absolutely. All right. What podcasts are you currently listening to?
I've probably mentioned most of them already. So The Rest is Politics. There is a US version of that. It includes the two hosts. One is, and I'll get his name wrong, but Anthony Scaramucci, the guy who was Trump's press secretary for 10 days. I have to say that initially put me off, but I've warmed to him. He's not as stupid as I thought he would be by any means. So that, and then the UK one, I just love. The Daily I've talked about, I still listen to that fairly regularly, along with Song Exploder, although less of that only because the song choices are getting more modern and I listen to new music, but you know, it's not hitting my taste as much as it used to. But when it does, the format's brilliant. A real favorite is, there's a brilliant UK comedian called Frank Skinner who's been around for forever, but he absolutely adores poetry and he's brilliant at talking about it. So I listen to his poetry podcast. I mentioned Desert Island Discs. That continues to be a favorite. Rock in the Suburbs. And that, interestingly, obviously, that, you know, started as a podcast, but they now have a radio side to that. So, you know, who knows, might get involved there at some point. I talked about The Guardian. In the printed and online content, they have something called The Long Read, where they dive into a subject, and they've turned that into a podcast. They tend to run for about 30 minutes, and about all sorts of weird and esoteric. My favorite was the one about the decline of the fish and chip shop in the UK and the problems they were hitting. Settlers and Bruce, obviously, from Jesse. And the final music one is Broken Record. Although, back to your thing about format, that tends to run on a bit sometimes. But that's what's on my phone at the moment.
Very cool, very cool. Notice, folks, he doesn't listen to anything here at the Geekcast Radio Network.
That's because that is a default, Mike.
You're just trying to save your own skin.
No. See, for the first time, we should mention that this is the second time we've done this because I didn't press record. Last time you said, other than my podcast, what do you listen to?
All right.
And gaming isn't my thing anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And I know you do a load of it.
We have a ton of other stuff. It's not just video games. Trust me, video games is actually new at this point for us this year. Or yeah, was it anyway? Yeah, no, we have a bunch of stuff over there. Perfect example. You mentioned this in the episode. Unfortunately, that no one will ever hear. The first time we recorded this, when I went to the outro, and I'll go to the outro this time later down the line here, but. You said when people are looking for my show on things, just search Music Talks Terry Smith, because there are multiple other. We have an episode from our flagship show, Geekcast Radio. I think it's episode 297, The Podcast Name Game. And basically it's me and my buddy Steve talking about how podcasts get their names and how you should go about choosing your name for your podcast and how... If there already is that name out there, you need to find something else. Because
there wasn't when I
launched. No. That's my point. That is the point, though. You had the name Music Talks or Music Talks Podcast, however you want to name it. You had that name. So anytime after June 25th of 2019, anyone who looked, if they did their research on iTunes, on Spotify, on wherever, Google, doesn't matter... if they searched Music Talks Podcast and other names already came up, whomever started another one with that name, they needed to name their stuff something else because there already was one. Like,
I know.
Nobody's going to come around now. We've been doing Studio 2009 since 2020. And Studio 2009 is very specific as far as the name goes because it's me and Steve doing various movies, and it's our all-encompassing movies and TV thing, and now I have this podcast approach stuff in here too, and video game stuff as well. But the point was, anything in the audio or visual realm, so if you can see it, if you can watch it, if you can hear it, if you can listen to it, we will discuss it on this podcast. And studio, because podcasts, most of the time, if you can, you make a room a studio, or you actually have a real studio. And then 2009 was when the Geekcast Radio Network launched, in June of 2009. So no one's going to come steal this name. Go find your own name, folks. Be original.
But the sad, and I agree with you, so you've done a good job of finding something unique. But the reality is, if somebody wanted to, they could.
They could. They shouldn't. They should have better, common sense and respect, but damn kids, get off my lawn. All right, podcast, that's right. I may not be as old as you, but I'm still an old man, damn it. Get off my lawn, you damn whippersnappers. Oh boy, I always bring out the old man voice. See, folks, I've got him giggling so much over there. All right, podcast production. As a producer, do you find yourself listening to podcasts less and less?
No, because I wasn't working at your rate or Jesse's. So, I mean, it took up time, obviously, but no. But I've never been, I mean, you know, I ran through that list of stuff that I'm listening to, but there's, I probably don't listen to any of them more than two or three times in a week. So I'm still a fairly low consumer, you know. You talk about having podcasts on when you're on doing stuff. For me, that's going to be music. So,
right, yeah.
You know, I have to fit in music, sport, and podcasts, which there's only so much time in the day.
That's right. As a producer, are you a podcast planner, or are you just throwing stuff at the mic to see what sticks? Please don't throw stuff at me.
Oh, very good. Very good. We'll be back after a commercial. No, we won't have a commercial break. That's a fascinating question because, you know, my initial response was planner. And then if you think about how an episode of Music Talks ran, I only had two pre-planned questions.
Yep.
Which was one at the start that said, can you just do a pen portrait of if it was you, who Mike is? And at the end, I would ask final thoughts. The rest of it was genuinely free format. Now, one of the beauties of the format is because you go from decade to decade, there is a structure in there, but I deliberately wouldn't sort of pre-plan too much because I wanted it to be a conversation. And, you know, okay, we're having a conversation today around a set of questions, but conversations tend not to be pre-planned.
Right, yeah.
So it was always important to me that it was spontaneous. And again, and I use the word a lot of joy, part of the joy was just that spontaneity. And people would start talking about things. And, you know, and one of the things I learned was that don't worry about asking the awkward question, because if you really get it wrong, you can edit it out. And I actually never had someone go, I don't want to answer that, or I don't want to talk about that. So, a little bit of structure, but then free format.
Absolutely. As a so the definition for this question is kind of like how sometimes, and we mentioned at this point, just like on his own podcasts, anytime you mention Bruce Springsteen, anytime you mention John Hyatt, take a drink. Anytime we mention Jesse Jackson, folks, take a drink. So the way that I'm going to phrase this is, are you as a producer, are you a one-man show kind of host, or do you prefer working with co-hosts? Basically, what it kind of goes back to the voices question a little bit, but it's more of, Are you there to do your own show and just talk to the audience by yourself? Or do you prefer like what we're doing where there's two people and it's a back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, the majority of stuff I've done, it's just been me. I have done multiple stuff. I've done a few with Jesse. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, albums of the year. Yep. I do with my friend who I met through the podcast, Stephen Routledge, and we're about to do this year's on December the 5th. He sent me his list through yesterday. For the first time ever, we had three choices that were the same. Wow. Which is weird, but we've worked that one out. But yeah, I think generally I can do both and I enjoy both, but I liked, at the end, I'm a control freak, I liked the solo thing. And that was one of the reasons I never sort of looked to monetize the podcast or whatever, because I realized I did have a couple of conversations with organizations and I realized there was an element of control inevitably I was going to lose, and I didn't want to lose that.
Yes, folks, podcasters, we are control freaks.
Indeed.
As a producer, do you feel like you need a mixing board and all the fancy stuff that would usually be found at a radio station, or are you good with a great mic and headphone setup?
I said before, I'm a gadget guy. I love my Rodecaster Pro. And it's, you know, it's got pretty lights on it, and also being serious for a moment, you know, one of the things the Rodecaster allowed me to do is to put the song clips onto, you know, the little pads. So in case you haven't heard the theme music to Music Talks. And that really actually helped, because it meant when I first started it, we would get to the song choices and I would say, let's take a listen to Fleetwood Mac. Pause. Mm-hmm. Whereas actually being able to play the music and the guests could hear it at the other end. And also, you know, from a Tim point of view, it was seamless. So, you know, it did actually have a real benefit. So it wasn't just me being a gadget guy, but I do like my gadgets.
Absolutely. As a producer, how much time do you put into the editing of the show? When you were editing your show?
So I'd never done any editing when I started. And I'm really glad that I went through that learning curve of being able to do it myself. I remember the day I realized that I could actually cut it. I knew the shape of my, you know, I could look at a weapon and go, ah, yeah, there it is. Just did it again. But I got to the point where I was probably spending at least 8 hours, maybe more, on an episode. And I realized that what was happening was that the more I learned, the longer it was taking me because I could do more.
Yep.
Which I'm sure somebody somewhere, you know, it'll be called Stravinsky's Law or something. Somebody will have named that. And then I decided to get some sort of outside help. So the first guy, John Wills, and he was a musician audio guy who got involved just before lockdown, and that kept him going through that. But what John did primarily was just take out the errs, the ums, and, you know, the obvious stuff. He then went back to being a musician. I then just found another guy to do the editing, Andy, and Andy just happened to be living in Ukraine. So we started working together about 2 weeks before his first daughter, or his first child and daughter, was born. And about 6 weeks before the Russians invaded, and we worked all the way through, despite his street literally, and he lives in a lovely old town called Lviv on the east of Ukraine, despite a missile literally landing in his street, and power cuts and all of this, he never missed an episode, and I will always, and I'm still in touch with him, obviously. And I will always be so grateful to him. But he took on a bigger role, as I joked about before, but he got really good at knowing what I wanted in and out. And it was interesting to lose a bit of control over the show, you know, because he would send me stuff back, and there was times I go, argh. And if there was ever anything I wanted to put back in, he'd done the sound bit on the whole recording, so I could do that. But it became less and less. But yeah, editing, I think, is something. My view is, if you're going to do podcasting, you have to learn to edit yourself, not least of which, and it was always a great reassurance with Andy, if, God forbid, if he couldn't do an episode, I knew that I could go back to doing it all myself if I had to.
Yeah.
And it's nice to learn a new skill.
Absolutely. And, you know, if anything ever comes up, I've been doing this for a long time now. Anyway,
Well, the final thing on editing, and you mentioned control. I think you mentioned control freak and retentive. Retentive control freak.
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
You can get really, really nerdy about it.
Yeah.
But there's also that joy, and there's that word again, when, you know, something's gone wrong and you actually manage to edit it and put it together and it sounds that's actually how I said it the first time and it sounds perfect, even though you didn't. I always got a kick out of that.
Yeah. I've been using this comparison now for the last couple of episodes in the last couple of months. And probably all of my English teachers are going to scream at me for saying this, and I am not an English teacher, I'm not an educator, but the way I look at podcasting and the way I look at the editing of the podcast is I feel like my English teachers are rapping me across the knuckles if I put the wrong word in or if I put an extra word in. So all the ting tang walla walla bing bang. I look at how I'm editing the shows as making it the best I can possibly make it, making it as not just concise, but making it a flowy conversation. So it like there's no unnecessary silences. It's all stuck together. It's all this. It's all right. That. And if there are things that I have to cut out, like, Terry, what's your favorite Beatles song? If you took 5 seconds longer than what I knew you would probably take on that answer and you said, before you answered it, I would cut that.
Take it
I
out.
Would take that out and just have your answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that is a challenge is, when you're doing that, is to make sure you're still keeping the pace of the conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, that it's not over-edited. And there was a few episodes where there was a bit of that. But I said final before, but the other sort of observation I'll make, and this is just a personal view, but if you ever respond to that voice in your head that says, yeah, but who will notice, then maybe it's time to stop podcasting. Because for me, my view is always, I don't care, I will.
Yeah, that's the point. And this is the point of, and I was editing Jesse's shows for a while last year, and I only got to edit Jesse's shows for a while last year because I kept telling him, like, you forgot this in the editing, you forgot that in the editing, there's a giant space of dead air here.
Oh yeah, we could go down
and
around.
I would tell him this privately, I'm not going to, even though I'm quote unquote outing it now, it's fine, it is what it is, but that's how, if it doesn't sound good to my ear, or if it's something that catches me off, I will notice it. But it's not just with my own shows, it's with everything I listen to. Now, I don't obviously give everybody feedback on it, because nobody wants an asshole for a listener, but, you know, it's just one of those things where hopefully people always looked at that as me being helpful to them, because I want the shows I listen to, as well as the shows that I produce, to be the best possible thing we can make it.
Oh, absolutely, Mike. Absolutely. You know, and I also think back to, there's that other awful moment where you've taken something out and 20 minutes later, the guest says, so as I mentioned previously, and you're like, okay, I'm going back. Yep. Either I take the whole thing out or I'm going back and I'm reinsert. And when I'm listening to, if there's those things that, you know, that sort of discontinuity, if that's a word, that really irritates me. So,
Yeah, continuity is everything, folks. All right. As a producer, do you prefer in-person recordings? Like, if you and your lovely wife, Laura, were to ever do her story on Music Talks podcast, you'd be sitting across from each other. Or do you just prefer what we're doing and what we have been doing forever, which is over the internet?
I've never done an in-person recording, and that's not deliberate. I mean, obviously the nature of the show and my guests,
right? Yeah.
It was always going to be over the internet. But I personally, it would maybe be fun, and maybe I'll just do it as, I mean, there's a really good friend of mine who lives two doors away. He's now a recently retired musician, and we meet up for beers every couple of weeks. And I, just like you sort of hound me about getting Laura to do Music Talks, I hound Gary about writing his book, because the man has got so many great stories. And, you know, one of the things I have offered to him is, hey, let's just sit and have a conversation and I'll record it. You know, you don't have to be writing a book.
Yeah.
So it might be interesting to do that face to face. But I think, you know, if I were ever to restart Music Talks or do another podcast, then my design criteria would be to do it like this.
Yeah.
You know, besides anything else, when two people are sat in a room, your brain is doing an awful lot of processing because you're looking at someone and all of that body language and everything else that's going on. Whereas here, there's two people talking and we're listening to each other.
Yeah, and you're right. And I've done two in-person recordings in 15 and a half years. One was, I've only done two. And it was fine because all as I did was we used Audacity, actually, because it was just easier since I only had one microphone. Steve, my buddy Steve, had come up when Karen and I got married because he was my best man for the wedding. So we did like a little after because Karen and I weren't going on. It wasn't one of those 1980s weddings where, you know, you smash the glass or you do whatever you're going to do. You do the love shack and then you go off to the honeymoon to Jamaica somewhere. We didn't take our honeymoon until almost a year later. So Steve and I, we went back and Karen was tired. So she went to bed and we just did a quick little 5-minute, 10-minute thing, sat next to each other, looked at each other. We've been looking at each other over the internet for the last X number of years. This is weird. And then
that's kind of my thing.
Yeah. And the other one was when I interviewed Eddie Nero, Big Ed from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois. He has this restaurant called Big Ed's Barbecue. They deal in barbecue and meats and everything else. And they had this Matthew the Sheriff Burger Challenge. It's this giant... Think of what's his name? Adam, what's his damn name? The guy, the food guy, the man versus food guy. Is similar to that. So it's one of those burger type challenges. So I interviewed Ed every year does this big Thanksgiving thing where you can either send your turkeys in or send your stuff in and he'll make you this whole dinner, or on Thanksgiving for those less fortunate, he and his team would actually go deliver full Thanksgiving meal type stuff to people who were less fortunate kind of thing. And I wanted to interview him for that because at the time, back in 2019, he had already been doing it for 4 years. And I had him sitting right here next to me, next to the desk, and it was fine. It was fun. It was awesome. But yeah, over the internet is much easier because we're each in our own spaces. We're comfortable in our own spaces and we're perfectly fine. So, but I do think...
And as you said at the start, and the other thing is, it's audio, you know, that's where the focus should be.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think, as much as he says, folks, that I hound him, I lovingly hound him because her story needs to be. But I do think if you did do that, you would have to do it in person with you all sitting next to each other. You couldn't just stick her in a different room and you in a different room. Well, it would...
Hey?
I don't know. Right.
Not going to happen anyway, Mike. Not going to happen.
Damn shame, folks. He won't sell out because I'd buy that for more than a dollar. Trust me, I would. Oh, boy. Okay, so this is a feed question. And this feed question is because I've known podcasts that do multiple things. Like, you take all of Jesse's stuff and you throw it into one feed kind of thing instead of each show having its own feed. So as both a listener and a producer, do you prefer one feed have everything or should each type of show have its own feed? So let's say, for example, you've got TV show of the week, movie of the week, and music release of the week. Should that all be one podcast or should each of those be their separate thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those yes, no, maybe answers. I think I err on the side of each show should have its own feed. Mm-hmm. So if I take the example, The Rest Is Politics, you know, there's a UK version, there's the US version, so they're obviously different. That makes sense. They then do something called leading, which is in-depth interviews with one individual, and they back to length, they typically run for well over an hour, and that has a separate feed. But what they do in the main feed is they have the show where the two of them talk about issues. They then have a listeners' questions, and they put those into one feed. You could argue they should be separate, but you know, I always think the simpler you can make it for the listener to know what they're going to get, the better. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I think as soon as you're asking the reader, I've done it again, as soon as you're asking the listener to, oh, now is it this one or is it that one, then the danger is that they'll go, in fact, it's none. I'll go and do something else, or I'll listen to something else. So, yeah, and I think people knowing what they're going to get is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, like, we're not, like, so we do cartoon review shows sometimes. We do full-on cartoon review shows, so, because we're cartoon people around here. So let's say we have a G.I. Joe cartoon, a Transformers cartoon, and a He-Man cartoon. All three of those, because they are all three different television shows, cartoons, whatever you want to call them, they each would get their own feed. Whereas if you did an overall discussion on each of those topics, like if you're doing the history of them, those could go on Geekcast Radio as a simple episode per franchise kind of thing. But if you're going to do the episodic reviews, then yes, it would have to go on its own feed.
Outside the other comment, just going back to the Rest Is Politics, is just from a branding marketing point of view, they actually are part of a company called Goal Hanger. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's called Goal Hanger is the company was started by a guy called Gary Lineker, who was a very famous English soccer player. He's also the highest paid BBC presenter because he does the football program on the BBC. And all of the podcasts under Goal Hanger are called The Rest Is.
Nice.
So you've got The Rest Is Politics, The Rest Is History, yep. The Rest Is Football. And that's quite clever, I think. That's quite clever.
Yeah, absolutely. So I call them co-hosts, but it is what it is. Other people that are on the show. But how do you go about finding your co-hosts or your guests?
Well, guests was literally, I mean, at the start, again, going back to that course I went on, you know, there was one guy, Larry Hauser, who'd also been instrumental in the podcast getting off the ground and is a dear, dear friend. I wanted him in my first five. The other four were all people I obviously wanted on the show, but they all had very large social media networks. So this was part of my plan to get to 1 million listeners in 4 weeks. That didn't happen, but, you know, it was a great start to the podcast. And from then on, there was a guy, Kevin Clement. He was the first person who got in touch with me when it was still tea time with Terry to say, who I'd never met, I'd like to be on your podcast. And then it was a mix of friends of friends, and then people getting in touch saying, I've heard the podcast, I'd like to be on. And I'm pleased to say, you know, finding guests was never a problem. My admin and organization and getting them booked in on the right days and giving them enough time wasn't always what it should have been. But, you know, as I say, I'm pleased to say that was never a problem. And if I was ever to start again, I think I have a running list of about 11 or 12 people that I'm thinking, oh, they'd be quite good. And then co-hosts, I mean, the only one I really do is my Albums of the Year with Stephen. Yeah. And Stephen was a guest, and actually he was someone I didn't know at all, came through Jesse again. And then when we were exchanging email about him coming on Music Talks, we realized that we lived about 45 minutes away from each other.
That's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, because on the basis there hasn't been a Springsteen story yet, Mike. Uh-huh. I'll tell you a very quick Springsteen story. So we were down in London at the end of July to see him live. We're in Wembley Stadium, so it's 92,000 people. And we're in the pit, as we always try to be. And we always go to the back of the pit near the camera because you get a bit of space around there. And with about 15 minutes before he came on, Laura looked at me and said, "We never do selfies. Let's do a selfie." Uh-huh. To which the woman who was there was a couple stood near us, and we'd sort of exchanged niceties, and she said, "Oh, let me take that." And then Laura and her got talking, and Laura said, "Oh, you're Scottish, you know, you live down here." She said, "No, we travel down." To cut a long story short, they live 440 yards away from us. They moved in 6 months ago, and they're neighbors. And it's like, hold on, there's 92,000 people in this stadium,
and we run into our neighbors.
And our neighbors we didn't know are stood next to us, and we've met them since, so that's lovely.
That's amazing. It just goes to show you, folks, music is a powerful thing, and it brings people together.
It is.
Unfortunately, due to all of the things with YouTube and Spotify and everything else, you folks aren't going to hear any music in this episode, because I can't put anything in without us getting doxxed. That's just the way it is here in the U.S. It's It's a whole thing, and it sucks because it ruins the creativity. But anyway, speaking of social media, how did you use social media to promote your podcast?
So, Facebook page, about 500 and something people on that. I would do, obviously, post that the episode was out, but I would put up video clips of the guest song choices, anything else that had come up. The earlier days, I did use Twitter as well, but I'm afraid my... Like so many people, that tailed off for obvious reasons, and I don't use it. I mean, I've still got a handle on there, but I don't use it at all. I haven't yet signed up for, is it Blue Sky?
Yeah, Blue Sky.
But I will. And to be honest, you know, when people say, so why did you decide to stop? That was one of the sides of that was starting to just feel a bit like an overhead. And frankly, I realized I wasn't being as diligent about it as I had been in the early days as well. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I have no idea what people see on Facebook or you know, what goes into feeds and what doesn't and why do I... So, you know, I guess a bit disenchanted by all of that these days.
Yeah, so with...
But it certainly helped in the early days.
Yeah, absolutely. With Facebook specifically... And with all of the social media I'm on, I curate it to like an nth degree. Again, going back to the whole anal retentiveness of myself. In Facebook specifically, you can do, would you like to see this in your normal feed, your favorites feed, your this feed, or your that feed? If it's something that I wanted to see first all of the time, every time, I would put it in the favorites feed. So Music Talks Podcast would always come up when you would make a post about any, whether it was the video stuff, because you're talking about the stuff that was in the episode, or whether it was the episode itself. So I would always see Music Talks stuff first. So that's how I've always done it. And everything else is just everything else. But lately, Facebook and all of the social media algorithms have just been too damn weird. And on there now, there are so many advertisements for pages that I don't care to follow. Like they.
Well, you know, I'm organizing a Microsoft. I do it every year, and I only invite people who are friends.
Right.
And you know, the number of people who've got in touch because somebody else has mentioned them to say, I didn't see the event. I haven't seen it. And it's like, hold on, I'm posting to you every week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm almost like, do I take the first half hour of this year's reunion to just say, go and write down your email address for next year and I'll just email everybody. So yeah, the days when you could just reach out and get a connection have gone. And it is, you know, anyone who's thinking about starting a podcast, don't underestimate, you know, that side of it. I remember again in that course, you know, somebody talking about Patreon, if you want to monetize. And it's like, yeah, so, you know, and it looked at a podcast and said, you know, here's a podcast and it's got over 100 Patreon subscribers. And the guy said, what you have to remember is people now expect a relationship with you and they expect a connection. And, you know, that's not managing 100 relationships is not an insignificant amount of time.
Well, that's,
you know, it's not simply a case of, oh, send me your money. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the thing with Patreon is like, that's for bonus content. That's for, to me personally, and Steve and I are going through this for other upcoming things next year on Geekcast Radio Network. But I told him, I said, I am not, if we go down the route of having a membership for Geekcast Radio, I am not going to have a tier for $1, $2, $3, whatever it is, for someone to get the episode, like this episode we're recording right now. When I publish it, when it goes online to all of the feeds, everybody gets it. Nobody gets exclusive early access to me because that does, to me, I don't see that as a perk. What I see a perk of is, hey, you want to be on the podcast and you're not a normal host or you've been listening. Like how you go to conventions and things and you'll pay to see somebody like, or no, not conventions, since it's music, like, you can go to a Bruce Springsteen podcast. Wow. You can go to a Bruce Springsteen concert and you can just have whatever normal seat you have, whatever. But you can also, if you get lucky enough to pay for backstage passes or if you pay for a meet and greet, that's a bonus to me. my listeners, your listeners, any listener of a podcast getting to hear the podcast early before everybody else, that's just exclusionary to me. It doesn't feel like so... That's what Patreon is to me. It's bonus content. It's content that isn't in the regular... Like, if we were gonna...
It's something over and above. Yeah, it shouldn't be it's, an entry point to the...
It's not...
Just on tickets and ticket bastard, as they're affectionately known. What I do get annoyed about is when they're trying to sell me a VIP ticket, which costs £400 next to a standard ticket that costs £100, because that's not a VIP ticket. That's just, you're ripping me off.
Yeah, that's just an upcharge.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just charging me four times more than the guy sat next to me.
Exactly. But I mean, like, and I don't know what the example would be, but okay, let's say you and Laura are going to come to the States. Let's say, I don't think this is going to happen, but let's say, as an example, he's going to retire and his last show is going to be in Jersey. You're going to want whatever special package, like I said, a meet and greet or a chance to go on stage with him or whatever. You're going to want that special thing if it's his last show. Anybody, not just Bruce, it could be anybody, but... You're gonna, that to me is special. Getting to hear the concert or the podcast or whatever before anybody else, that's not special. That's just it's a whole thing. All right, a few more questions here. We're almost done. What is I'm actually interested to know what other topics, but what is your favorite topic to discuss on a podcast? I wonder what that could be, folks.
Well, obviously music, but as I said, if you look at where Music Talks, sort of how it changed from my original plan, then I actually think my favorite thing to talk about in a podcast is people and people's stories. And I know I've told you this before, but when I joined Microsoft in 95, I'd been in the company 6 weeks. We'd been over to Canada for the big kickoff event. You know, MSN was launched. A week later, Windows 95 was launched. It was an amazing time, and I went for a bite of food with my boss into the canteen for lunch, and I said to him, look, I'm absolutely loving it, but I've never actually received an official job description. And he looked at me and he went, oh yeah, I'll send that to you when I get back. And I got back to my desk and this mail came through and the title said job description, and I opened it and it had one word in it and it said storyteller. So I love telling stories. I can't tell a joke to save my life. But I love telling stories. I love listening to stories. And as I discovered with Music Talks, what happened was that music was just the jumping off point for people to tell stories. So that's my favorite. So I like stories.
Very cool. Very cool. What do you see as the differences in podcasting versus being on the radio?
Well, I guess my first answer is maybe I'll find out, because that's one of the options I'd like to explore, is potentially doing a bit of radio. You know, he's got a great face for radio. And, you know, I also mentioned before that I listened to Desert Island Discs, which has been a radio show since 1948 or 42, can't remember, for a long time in the UK. And you literally think, well, it's just a brilliant podcast format. I think it's that if I was to go with anything, it's that listening to it and thinking this person or these people are talking to me, you know? Whereas I think there's radio, there's a broader side, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
But yeah, I guess the answer is I need to go and do a bit of radio and then come back and tell you.
The original release date for Desert Island Discs was January 29th, 1942.
42, it was 42, so middle of the war.
Yep.
Yeah, if you go on to, I'm assuming the BBC Sounds app works overseas, but they've got literally every episode since 1942 up there. And it is a fascinating listen, a fascinating listen.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, folks, Music Talks podcast was an interview show. And this is more of a question that was, I don't know. It used to be in one of our other things kind of thing. But if you've done any interviews with famous people, which was your favorite?
Yeah, I mean, famous is an interesting word, isn't it? But I guess if I do that English thing and water it down a bit to notable, what notable people did you have? So there are a number on podcasts. So the first one, and I've mentioned it a few times already, is that my guest on episode 4 was actually Hrishikesh Hirway, who is the host of Song Exploder. I'd love to say that I used my network to do that, but I actually donated to charity to get him. And my only regret with that, I really enjoyed that, but I actually wish I'd done it later, because obviously it was early on doing the podcast, and I think I'd have enjoyed the conversation more with less nerves. Had a great musician called Will Stratton. Go on to Spotify. He's done 6 albums. And actually, the episode before him was his actual name is Will Lulliffs. And the episode before was his dad, Tim, who's also a musician. So that's how I got those two. I had Matt Bancroft, who is Johnny Marr at the Smiths. Matt is Johnny's design, does all his design and branding and covers for the albums and everything. Malcolm Barrett, MBE. He was on, he is very famous in British design. He did the first, he did the cover for the first Buzzcocks single. He did the Rio album cover for Duran Duran. He was absolutely fantastic. And I also had a guy called Jeff Smith, who is a member of Parliament and is still a member of Parliament in the new Labour government. So they were all great, although I'll tell a quick story about Matt Bancroft, and then I'll tell you my favourite episode. You know, well, 2 stories about Matt Bancroft. I looked at Matt's website and thought, wow, you know, there's this guy in his late 30s, early 40s. He's doing all of this stuff with Johnny Marr, but he's doing loads of other stuff. Looks really cool. And I didn't get nervous on that many episodes, but I'm thinking, oh, I'm a bit nervous about this. And we get on the call, and this voice goes, all right, Terry, how are you doing, lad? And he was just fantastic. But I then had a guy from Rockin' the Suburbs. Mm-hmm. And he was going to be one of their sort of group. He was going to be on my next guest. And he actually emailed me to say, I've just listened to Matt Bancroft's and he's done such amazing stuff. And he's, you know, so famous and everything. And I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm not going to give him a name. Yeah. The fascinating thing was his episode got twice as many as Matt Bancroft in terms of listeners. Because everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. Yep. But my favorite episode was a lady called Jo Berry, and it's a really moving episode. Briefly, in 1984, the IRA, when all the troubles in Ireland were going on, bombed the Conservative Party conference. They bombed the hotel with the goal of killing Margaret Thatcher and all the cabinet. They weren't successful, but one member of parliament was killed, and the person who was killed was Jo Berry's father. And she then dedicated her life, or has dedicated life and continues, around peace and trying to help in war zones and areas of conflict around the world. And the most amazing thing is that as part of that, she not only met the guy who planted the bomb that killed her father, but they've actually been working together for the last 20 years.
Oh, wow.
I think is incredible. And of course, the other great thing is that her music choices were brilliant as well. So if people ask me, what's your favorite episode? Then whilst there are so many, you know, I genuinely never had an episode where I thought, wish I hadn't done that. But Joe's is my favorite. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, like you said,
episode 42.
Yep. Like you said, everybody has a story, and, you know, everybody, you know, needs to have their story heard. And you did it through music and through albums and through songs. And
yeah, do you know one of the other things, Mike? And this actually only occurred to me recently. Mm-hmm. I also, because I was so surprised how much people were willing to open up. And I, and this again was not something I planned. I think one of the reasons is I never said to anyone, come on and tell your life story.
Yeah.
You know, because it was music and because the format allowed that, that's what happened. Whereas I think, you know, if I'd have launched a podcast called Tell Your Life Story with a Bit of Music, I don't think it would have worked as well.
Well, no, that's a clunky title, but the thing of it is,
no, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, but absolutely. But technically you did tell people that. It's in your tagline. A song for each decade of your life.
Yes.
As long as go ahead.
What the tagline says is a song from every decade of your life, mm-hmm. which is not tell your life story, it's just
right.
every decade. And the second thing is, and tell me why those songs are so important. There's no mention of tell your life story.
No, there is.
The other one I have to say about that tagline is Malcolm, the guy with the MBE, mm-hmm. he was brilliant because he emailed me and he said, I love your format, but I'm going to do 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, et cetera. And this was like, I was then on episode 70, and I remember looking at his email and thinking, shit, that would have been a really smart way to do it, wouldn't it? But it's too late to change it now.
Too late to change it now. But the point is that if you have that format that, like you just said, your entire tagline there, that to me is you asking people for their life story in the music that they listen to. So whilst it isn't you directly saying, come on the podcast, tell me your life story, it reads to me as, hey, we're going to have your story be told through the music you've listened to over your lifetime.
And that's great that you're reading that into it. As the person who wrote that, I can tell you, you're completely and utterly wrong. Because it was, just take the decades of your life, mm-hmm. choose a song and tell me why that song is important to you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, the rest, that was the guest taking over, and that will always be, I'm not complaining, it right. was fantastic.
Yeah. And then there's me, folks, where I took one band and made it everything. Nice. All right. Was there ever a moment, which we're unfortunately at that moment, folks, but during the run of the show, was there ever a moment where you were just like, I'm done. I'm fine. I'm good. Before you got to 100 episodes, was there ever a moment in the last 5.5 years before now where you're like, I'm good?
No, but, and I think I know the reason for stopping at 5 years and 100 episodes was I can see that there will be, I can see that potentially that will happen in the future, and I don't want it to.
Right.
So it was a case, a definite case of quit while you're ahead.
Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for new as well as veteran podcasters in the art of podcasting?
I have thought about this one, and I've even written some stuff down. I just have to find it to remind myself. So again, I've touched on most of this anyway. I would reiterate that thing of make sure you focus on audio quality in your pilot episodes. You give that as much focus as you give content and everything else. You know, that's something I wish I'd done. I do subscribe to that. If you have a format that you would do if no one was listening, you know, that will give you the momentum and the fun and all of that. And then the final bit is just do it. If you're thinking of doing a show, and I've been fortunate enough, a number of people have got in touch to say, you know, how did you start? What did you do? And not every case, but in a lot of cases, people will, in my view, and I give this feedback that says, yeah, you're using that as a barrier to not jump off, you know, just go and do it. So don't worry about it. You can find your way around the technology. You can find a way around editing. You know, you can find guests. Just go and do it because it's great fun, you know. So that would be it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks. I think that's going to do it. We got one last thing, and we all kind of know where this is. The link will be in the show notes and all that good stuff. But where can the people find your show?
On all the major apps, as we discussed earlier, there is now sadly more than one Music Talks. Music Talks will normally find it. If it doesn't, Music Talks, Terry Smith definitely will. Or you can just go to my website, which is musictalkspod.com.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us in this 100th episode, the most recent podcast approach episode. We're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads, and we will come back to close the show, and I will be giving you a preview of what's coming up here inside Studio 2009 right after this.
For over 6 years, my guests and I have been discussing the soundtracks to our lives. I'm Jesse Jackson, and I've had hundreds of fans from around the world share their stories about the power and magic of all kinds of music. If you enjoy stories about joy, redemption, trials, and ultimately triumph, then please check out Set Listing Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. Remember, there is magic in the night.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good podcast, Have a Little Faith.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format. And if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.com or use your favorite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk to me until it ends over, then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. Terry, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Seriously, you're a massive supporter of Music Talks, which I will always be grateful for, and it's always fun to talk to you. So thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. Folks, Terry will be back because I was trying to find and see. I'll have to find this for him offline, but... again, take a drink. Jesse Jackson, Celestine Bruce. I forget when he started doing this, but he did this segment called Springsteen in Five Lines, where you choose the five lines from whatever five lines you want from any Springsteen song. That basically he took your format and put it to song lyrics, essentially, kind of, sort of. And I asked him, and I've gotten permission to do so. I said, "Hey, can I take that and use it for Blackstone Cherry?" So that will be coming in 2025, and I might have to twist Terry's arm, but hopefully Terry will be a guest on that one. And I think Blackstone Cherry are coming up to their next album cycle at some point here soon, because it's been about 2 years since Screaming at the Sky came out. So Terry's going to be around, folks. He may be retired from his own show, but as long as I can twist his arm a little bit here and there, he'll be here. I have no idea what's good. Sorry.
I suspect that's true, Mike. I mean, Laura did say to me, "Hold on, so you're recording with Mike and you're recording with Jesse and you're doing your albums with Stephen. I thought you'd stopped podcasting."
We will find a way, folks. It might not be his own show, but we will find a way. Episode 101 of Studio 2009, I have no idea, but we are doing, just like Jesse did for November. He did 30 days, 30 podcasts, 30 days of 30 and 30 for Springsteen. I am doing 31 days, 31 podcasts in December of 2024. Most of these are films, most of them the first 8-9 of them are Star Wars stuff. My buddy Dave and I do Star Wars discussions over the films. We did the holiday special from 78 and other stuff. We then are going to go into the old TV show Columbo. And then after that, it's a bunch of anniversary films from 25, 30, 40 years ago kind of thing, talking about various movies. So that's what's coming up here inside Studio 2009. You're also going to get, hopefully I can get this out by then, but episode 131 will be the New Year's Eve of podcasts. And basically that is, you can send any audio clip you would like to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put in the subject line Studio 2009, episode 131. And basically just what your New Year's Eve traditions are, if you do resolutions, if you don't do resolutions, if you ignore the whole thing, but just reflecting on the year that was going into the year that whatever may happen and whatever may become in 2025. So that's what that is. And yeah, that's going to do it for us. Any other final thoughts, Terry, before I run through this closing, sir?
The only thing, you mentioned Columbo. What was his phrase when, remember, he'd go to leave and then was it just one other thing or something? What was it he used to do?
Oh, yeah. By the way, just one more thing. He's got his variations of that, but the main phrase was, "Excuse me, sir, just one more thing," because he would pop right back.
I think you've got to start your Columbo episodes with him saying that.
Oh.
And at the end.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
Other than that, I'm done, my friend, but it was a delight.
We'll figure it out, folks. The funny thing is that in doing my research, it was almost going to be, it was actually going to be a separate podcast. It was not going to be here inside Studio 2009 as a part of the 31 Days. I was going to branch it off and have it be its own show. Problem is, there are three established Columbo shows, and one of them has that title for the thing already, so that's why it's here inside this.
Oh, right.
So, not getting into all that, but it's crazy. But yes, the audio clips, definitely. I will definitely be throwing in various Columbo sayings and things like that. I actually have a my wife counter for every time he mentions his wife. So, yeah. Thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also check out shop.geekcastradio.com right now for all your holiday podcast shopping needs. You can get t-shirts up to 4XL with our logo on them and some other stuff, as well as mugs and other things in there. I think Steve Megatron's adding stuff all the time for that. So we do have a store finally again. We did have a store years ago, and they kind of went under at the time, but we do have a new store. You can check us out in any of the podcatching clients you choose to use, Apple and Spotify, whether you're Android or in the Rotten Fruit camp. You know, you can use that. You can leave us reviews on any of that stuff. We are still on Twitter. We still call it Twitter, no matter what that nasty-smelling cologne says. At Geekcast Radio for the network. At It's Studio 2009 for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can check out Studio 2009 podcast over there, as well as checking out Music Talks podcast on there, too. Join us next time when we will be doing something in episode 101. We're cutting a little close to get another music episode, folks, but I don't think that's going to happen. But we'll see. We'll see. But 31 days, 31 podcasts for December. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Terry Smith.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.